Yeah. I imagine you found one or two in there that might have resonated, huh? I found one or 100. My dad was here in the first worship gathering, so I'll talk about him now in this one. Because he was a Marine, and that's why I didn't talk about him in the first one. No, I'm only kidding. You know, it is Father's Day, and we're going to try and connect in a few different ways with how we get a glimpse of God through fatherhood, and even how we understand God to be our Father. And we're going to look at it through a bunch of different prisms. And what I would simply ask you to do is this. Make the application for yourself. Some of you grew up with wonderful memories of Dad, and maybe Dad's not around anymore. Some of you grew up with some tremendously hurtful memories regarding Dad. Maybe Dad wasn't ever around. We understand on all of those fronts, and I think maybe you'll be able to look through a few different lenses as we talk together today. But what I want to remind you of and point our attention to is the nature of who God is as our Father. In fact, the Scripture says in James chapter 1, verse number 17, these words, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." See, I don't know what your background is in relationship to father. When you hear that term, some people cringe and some people are reactionary. And the truth is, Mother's Day for many is a lot sweeter, even though your mother, you know, your relationship with your mom may have been strained, maybe it wasn't perfect, but it's so much less so than it comes to relationships with dads or how dads do what they do. Sometimes hearing Father's Day, it just kind of makes people cringe. For other people, it brings great kind of relief and wonderful opportunity to remember back or to spend time. So I recognize all of those things. I see them. I hear them. What I want you to do is to make sure that you can sort through all of that so that you really, above and beyond all of the preconceptions or projections you have about Father, you can understand who God is. Because God is a Father who doesn't change like the shifting shadows. Every season of life, God is solid and steadfast. He is a mighty fortress. He is a strong tower. He will never leave us or forsake us. And that's what we know. But you know, getting to know about God is interesting because you can view it through so many different lenses. And we're going to look through the lens of fatherhood today. And what better way to begin our understanding of God and looking through the lens of fatherhood than with a brand new daddy? Bill Clowen's over here to my left, your right, and he and Katie just had little Noah six weeks ago. He was down here trying to win the coffee right down here. He's like, "Dude, come on, man." I was like, "No, you got a microphone on. That's you get your reward already." So they just had a baby and been married for a little while, still young couple. It's their first child. So what was that like, realizing, number one, you know, your wife's pregnant, you're going to have a child, and then the actuality of actually seeing your child for the first time enter this world? How did that sit with you?
It was scary. Yeah. It was very scary, but yet, you know, the most exciting thing that could happen in your life. I mean, I thought my wedding day was magical and exciting, but to stand there and hold a son in my hands was absolutely the most incredible thing, and yet still very terrifying.
Yeah. Does anybody here have that recollection of terrifyingness? Okay. Yeah. The rest of you, I guess, had it all figured out, apparently. Pretty much, you know, yeah. I was terrified. When we first came home with our first child, I was thinking to myself, uh-oh, we've got responsibility. Did that whole, like, I've got responsibility thing, did that dawn on you at any point, like early, like at the hospital or when you're on the drive home? Where did that whole thing come into play?
Oh, it was right off the bat. Not so much at the hospital because you had all sorts of nurses taking care of everything. Right. But when we got in that car to drive home, all of a sudden I was the best driver on the road because I had that little bundle of joy in the back.
10-2 hand position?
Oh, yeah.
He's doing hand signals and electric signals. Going left. Now, I remember that because it was like when the nurses were taking care of them, it was like you're living in Disney World, right? I mean, it was perfect. It was like, dude, this is awesome. Yeah, you changed his diaper. He's upset. Now you come and give him something. This is going to be relatively easy. And then they take you to your car and leave. That's not in the manual. Chris, that wasn't in the manual you gave me. There it is right there. It was a difficult thing. Now, here's what I'm curious of, is what did you feel like when you had this child and you're holding this child at your home in your arms? I mean, compare the feeling, you know, you obviously experienced a depth of love for your wife, or you'd have never asked her to marry you, and you probably felt something you'd never felt before there. But now, it's not necessarily that your love went deeper, but maybe it expanded some, huh, when you bring a child into this world. What was that like for you?
Oh, it was amazingly, I mean, it expanded tenfold. I mean, it was unbelievable to hold him in my arms. And like I knew I loved my wife, and I thought that was an incredible love. But when I held that child and looked at him, this is my son. You know, this was made with the love between me and my wife. And it was just absolutely incredible to know that, and not to mention the change of perspective of my image of God and how I can see what he sees when he looks at his children and the feelings that he has. It was incredible.
What one word would describe the feeling that you have when you look at your son?
Deep. I couldn't feel any more. I mean, it is so, it's so deep. It's amazing.
It's a profound love, isn't it? Oh. I mean, it's a... it's kind of one of those things my imagination would tell me. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you'd be willing to run through a wall for Noah, wouldn't you?
Oh, without a doubt, no matter how thick.
Think about what that looks like with God looking at us, huh? Mm-hmm. I mean, think about what it looks like with God looking over his children as a father does a son. Do you ever just kind of stand over him when he's sleeping?
Make sure he's breathing.
Yeah. That whole deal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Do you ever just stand there and just sit there and think to yourself, I don't think that I can't love you any more than I love you. As a new dad, you're probably, you know, you glow with those kind of things, and those things are real and they're visceral for you because you're thinking to yourself, I can't love you more than I love you, and I'd do anything in the world for you. Well, that's a pretty decent illustration of the Father's love for us, as a father loves their child, because one of the things I recognize is that the Scripture gives us instruction and reminders. And in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 4, it says this: Fathers, do not exasperate your children, but instead bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Some of your translations may say the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What am I talking about there? What is the Scripture talking about there? Well, some of you may be paying real close attention going, dude, are you going to give me like a curriculum? Because I need one. Because this whole, like, you know, the thing of, like, sitting my kids down and for 3.5 hours and, you know, we're going to have life lessons with dad, it's not working good. They won't sit still. You know, I'm having trouble with that. Now, this isn't about a curriculum. I think what it is more than anything in the world, that the entree into the training and instruction of your children is the power that Bill just talked about, the power of love. When you love your children well, maybe it's your grandchildren, okay? But when you love them well, you now have an entry point to be able to teach them. You have an entry point to be able to discipline them. You have an entry point not to exasperate them because they know I am for you. I am on your team. I love you. I may or may not be able to answer your questions, but I could not be more for you. I could not be more loving towards you. But it gives you the entry point to be able to instruct and to encourage and to nurture. It's a power called love. And children that are loved well, I'm not talking about just the gooey kind where we just give them everything. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about loving them wisely, loving them biblically. When we do that, it changes their trajectory. I want to pray for you because I want to drill these truths down. Every time I talk about one of these things, I want to pray for you because many of you apply it. Men, women, whomever you are, you may be dads, you may not be, but you can apply these things in your life. Father, as we take a moment and reflect about the power of your love in a life, we are reminded about a father and a child. Those of us that have experienced that, we know what it's like to look at a child and realize that we can't love them any more than we love them. We'd run through walls. We'd move mountains for them. And God, we also know the responsibility that falls on those of us who are dads or who may be at one point of what it means to bring them up and train them and to encourage them and to instruct them. But God, we know that unless that's couched in love, we'll never experience the full force of that. So God, give us a heart to understand the power of a father's love. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Sometimes you gotta swallow a little hard, you know, and get yourself together. But you know what it's like, Mary Jo, to be daddy's girl, right? Got married about a year and a month ago to Chris, who is up in our booth area up there turning knobs and stuff.
That's right.
It's like a guy job, right?
Yep.
What do you do? I turn knobs and stuff. That's just a cool job to have. So you're a daddy's girl, right? I mean, you grew up as the youngest, being daddy's girl. And dad wasn't perfect, but dad did a whole lot right in your life, didn't he?
Yes.
He was there for you, wasn't he?
Yep.
Tell me about that. How did you, what did you do to spend time with your dad? What did he do to create time with you?
Well, my dad, he's a carpenter, and he has a little shop out in the garage, and he makes furniture and different things, and I used to go out there, and actually sometimes I still do, just try and help him. I had no idea what he was doing, and he would try to teach me, but I still had no idea what he was doing.
Right.
But it was just time for us to spend, just the two of us to be able to spend some time together. And I would ask my questions, and why is this happening in the world, or why does God allow this to happen? And that's one thing I still, like I said, look forward to doing. I go out and we hunt together.
Right on. Every dad out there is going, yes, cool.
So it's just, I find things that he has interest in and that I also have interest in, and that we can just spend time together.
Sure. So you get to kind of steal those moments and walk into his world a little bit and kind of live in that. Now, he had a nickname for you, right, in the carpentry shop?
Yes, he called me his Muscles.
Muscles, yeah. You and I, we have that nickname in common.
Oh, actually. Oh really? Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if you knew that or not. But
no.
Yeah, it's a nickname I gave myself.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So no one else has given it to me. So I just gave it to myself.
Yeah, he called me his Muscles because we would go to Home Depot and I would help him load the wood into the car.
Yeah. Tell me this. What did it mean to you to know, to have this kind of sure foundation that your dad was there for you?
It was important. It was important to know that I could go to him for anything. Mm. And he wanted me to go to him for everything. And he took the time to talk to me and, invest in me. And just in so many different ways, he made sure that we knew it was important to keep Christ at the center of our lives. Mm. And even after dinner, we would do devotions as a family together, and he would pray with us every night.
Wow.
And he actually was the one who prayed with me.
To receive Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Led you to Christ.
Yep.
See, what a cool testimony to have that. What a blessing to have that kind of dad. Not everybody here has that kind of dad, or had that kind of dad. But you've got a dad who invested in you, who realized, I'm sure, and probably if he's in here, he realizes even more clearly that time gets away from us pretty quick, doesn't it? I mean, here you are. You're sitting on the other side of all this now. You're a grown young woman, married to Chris. You have your own family. And you look back and realize, man, it was just a few years ago, it seemed, that I was just running around here with all these tech guys running around here doing stuff. Now you're married to one of them, that's how it happens around here, folks. It was just a few years ago, and now you're looking back on that and thinking, boy, time went quickly, didn't it? And I imagine your dad and your mom feel it went even quicker than you do, but from their vantage point. But it reminds us of the importance of making those kinds of investments. Now, when you got married, I'm guessing that you guys did a father-daughter dance there.
Yes.
How did that go with a daddy's girl and a dad who loves his little girl, and you're the youngest one?
Well, we made a promise to each other that we wouldn't cry.
How'd that go?
Well, for the last 3 weeks before the wedding, we bawled every time we hugged each other.
So you didn't cry at the wedding, but you spent 3 weeks leading up to the
exactly.
wedding
crying. Exactly. We cried, obviously, during the ceremony when we were walking down the aisle together. But we did pretty good, I think we just cried too much. We got it all out, so.
That's good, though. What a blessing to have a dad that you had the opportunity, who cared enough about his little girl that he was emotional about it, That's what a blessing that is. The bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, is that we don't have forever. With our children, with our grandchildren, we don't have forever. We've got to make the moments count. We've got to redeem the time that we have with our kids, because we're going to wake up real soon and realize that time has run away from us. But you know, the blessing that I think can be experienced by you and so, by so many else is in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7, it says this. It says, the righteous man leads a blameless life. Blessed are his children after him. And another translation says, the righteous man walks in his integrity, and how blessed are his children that follow after him. You know, when you have a dad that walks in integrity and the influence that that has in your life, it's a great reminder and a great blessing. And I think the takeaway for us, ladies and gentlemen, is that we don't need to cheat away the time that we have. Sir, some of your work will wait. Ma'am, some of yours will as well. You got children that need you. Maybe grandchildren. Maybe you don't have any kids. Maybe it's nieces or nephews or friendships. But understand that the relational component of this is so important because it's what God's designed us for, and it will get away from us before we know it. Father, the truth of that just really rings in our hearts. We're reminded that it won't be long before maybe our young kids, maybe my own kids, God, are grown. Maybe some of us have already experienced that and now have grandchildren or great-grandchildren or nieces or nephews or friendships, God, whatever it may look like. May we cherish those at every stop along the way and recognize that when we lead a righteous life, that the people that are around us will be blessed because of our integrity. So God, don't let time get away from us. Let us cherish every moment. In Jesus' name, amen. I know, right? You're thinking, not fair, Gillis, pulling that stuff. Hey, sometimes we need a visual reminder, don't we, of how precious our time with our kids or our grandkids or our nieces or our nephews or whatever your application is. We need to be reminded how precious that is because they're not always going to be with us. Chris Hall, to my right, knows what it's like for Dad not to be here on this Father's Day. It's his first Father's Day without his dad. It was 4 weeks ago when Dad passed, and it's really not only an emotionally difficult thing to recognize that, hey, this is the first Father's Day without Dad, but it was so recent. But there's a comfort in the midst of that, isn't there, Chris, because of what transpired. Tell us a little bit about Dad and tell us what happened in his life.
Well, Dad was kind of a man's man. He lived life hard. And
I told him in the first service, I got to tell you this. We had some offline conversations at Starbucks, Chris and I did, about Dad, not only before he came to know Christ, but after he came to know Christ. And some of those conversations are going to stay offline. Because we're a family program, and Dad was classic Buffalo. I mean, he was a tough, no nonsense, straightforward kind of guy. Yeah. So I enjoyed hearing some of those stories about the nature of who he was.
But the beautiful part of it was 2 years ago on Father's Day, I approached it like any other Father's Day, and you know, I was making my tea times and picking out my favorites for dinner that night, and just going about my business. Well, I forgot to check with Gail, who knew what I was going to do that Father's Day. And Gail said, Chris, your dad's not getting any younger. You should be at church this Father's Day with your dad. And I called him and said, Dad, will you come to church with me? Flat out, no, not coming to church. Well, he didn't check with his wife, so he didn't know what he was doing that Father's Day either.
That's how it goes sometimes.
A few minutes later, the phone rings, and it was Dad, and he was going to come to church with us. Well, needless to say, that day, Pastor Al led both Mom and Dad to Christ.
Hmm. How about that? 2 years ago. You got to understand the significance for Chris today. Chris is a dad of Lindsay, so she's a daddy's girl too, right?
She's
right back there with Gail. But this is first Father's Day without Dad. But 2 years ago, Dad, who was 72 at the time, 74 at the time, received Christ and had a life that was transformed. And that was evidence to you guys, wasn't it?
To know him was to realize how the Holy Spirit had just taken over his life.
Transformed his life. And to know, ladies and gentlemen, to see a parent, to see anyone come to faith in Jesus Christ in their 70s or beyond is an absolutely unbelievable deal. And I remember it was 2 years ago, I think Pastor Alan Breck were actually on platform talking together, a father and son, and your dad and your mom were there, and they came back to the fireside room. They had an opportunity to be talked to and prayed with, and they received, both of them, yes, received Jesus Christ. And so mom is who you spend your time now caring for and loving and encouraging her through this, because you're not only dealing with your own sense of loss here today, and by the way, doing it very courageously to share this with all of us and to minister to us in this way, because there's other people here who may be experiencing their first Father's Day without their dads too. So that connection point, number one, hats off to you for being courageous enough to do that. And I thank you for that. But what it also does is it, you got to remember, and you've said to me, it's not only about me, but now I'm thinking about comforting other people too as well. Isn't that right?
Exactly. Yeah, we've got to watch over mom now and take care of mom and make sure she's good. And, you know, the beautiful part is that, you know, we'll know from this point forward that he's with the Lord.
Mm. That's the comfort
in
all
of this,
right?
That's the comfort.
That's the hope, ladies and gentlemen, of the Christian faith. The hope of the faith is that because Christ died for our sins and because he resurrected from the dead, that if we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ for our salvation, that not only will our souls go to be with Jesus when we leave this earth, but when Jesus comes again, ladies and gentlemen, he is going to resurrect our bodies to reunite them with our souls, and we will be whole with Jesus Christ, cancer-free, disease-free, and we'll be with him. Thank you, Chris, for even sharing that with us. It's it's such a time like this, you know, and it ministers, I know, to a whole lot of people here. Because people on Father's Day, some are facing heartache, and that may be from dad's not around. Or it may be, like my buddy Josh Dean over here, that dad was never around to begin with. You didn't really know your dad growing up, did you?
No, not really. Know my biological father, met him a few times. And then because of that, my mother's a recovering crack addict. So because of that, there was a variety of different men in and out of my life. A stepfather who was pretty abusive to my mother and I for a number of years. And then after that relationship, other men that kept coming in and out. So
that had to really kind of skew your idea of what a father was supposed to be, didn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, I never really had anybody that showed any perception of what I thought a father should be. And it really left for a while as a young kid, it left a bad taste of men in my mouth because I didn't want to interact with them. All my interactions were not very good. So.
Mm. How did that change? Because you sit here today, you're a different guy. You came from this background that was really challenging. How did your idea of what a father was supposed to be, how did that begin to shape and change?
Well, I think I was in foster care, and it started there. One of my foster parents, they're Christians, and he was a man of God, and he kind of was the first man in my life that I saw that was what it was kind of looked like to be a father or a husband. And I played college basketball locally here, and my coach was very involved in my life and invested in me. And then from then on out, it kind of there's been other men to follow.
So. Well, and you've had, obviously your wife Tina, who's sitting down here on the front row, was an influence for you coming to faith in Christ, which was about 5 years ago, right?
Yes.
And then in that process, now as a believer, you're trying to relate to this heavenly father, but your idea maybe of father was a little bit messed up from early on, but you had some guys who kind of walked into your life and maybe helped shape that for you, didn't you?
Yeah, I was extremely blessed when I came to start walking with God. Brett Cockrell, who's a dear friend of mine, a mentor of mine, invested in my life, and also my best friend, John Camerano. Two of them really poured their lives into me and have been with me ever since. They're men that I can constantly call, and they've given me a great example of what a true man of God is, and what it means to be a husband and a father. And I'm thankful for that for my family. So,
And what, you know, with all that you've been through and kind of the background that you have, how'd you come away not being bitter? Because, you know, when I'm around you, and I really mean this, not just from when we're sitting up here, but I don't detect a lot in the way of bitterness or any of that. You know, some of that stuff you have to work through and do all that stuff, but I just don't sense a lot of bitterness from some of the background there.
Well, you know, I've realized that you know, once I came to Christ and what I've been forgiven for and what that means, really, that I have to forgive people. And just having people invest in me is giving me an opportunity just to really walk away from it. So you know, I don't, you know, I'm thankful and grateful that I've made it out, you know, that people have invested in me and we're able to walk through it, my wife and I. So
thanks for ministering to us. Listen to what the scripture says in Psalm 68, verse 5. It says, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. Even if today is a day where you don't have or don't sense that you had a dad that was around or maybe dad's not here, I want you to know something real crystal clear according to the Word of God. You have a father. You have a father in God who is a father to the fatherless, a defender of the weak and the widows, and who is one who is right now loving you, singing over you, singing, in fact, a father's song. Father, would you help us to grab hold of who you are and help us to undo some of the things that maybe have caused us to look at you differently? God, give us a sense for the overwhelming power of your love in our lives, of your faithfulness to us, and how even when maybe we have felt like our fathers weren't around, that you are there for us and always will be, singing over us with love. Thanks for reminding us of that today in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe for me, it's the lyrics, those lyrics resonate so strongly with me because they're straight out of the Word of God. In Zephaniah chapter 3, listen to this statement, verse 17. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. I mean, to think of a God who loves us, has this powerful, forceful love that we can't even comprehend. To think of a God who is faithful to us and always there for us, right? To think of a God who will never be absent from us and who always provides comfort and hope for us, even in the midst of life situations. To think about him singing a song over you is a powerful truth. I hope you'll let it wash over you. And that you'll remember that this God who loves and this God who gives and this God who is merciful is also a God who is strong to save. That he is a mighty fortress. He is a strong tower and that he, our Father, will save us. The response that we need to have and that I need to let you let out is a response of worship. So I want you to stand to your feet. And Benji's going to lead us as we respond to God, our Father, in a time of worship, letting him know how grateful we are for who he is to save us. That's the God who is our Father. That's the Father that we have. The one who is mighty to save, who quiets us with his love, who rejoices over us with singing. I'm going to ask you to, in an attitude of prayer, have a seat. And as your heads are bowed for just a moment, two things I want to say. The first is this. If you're here and you've never entered into a relationship with this Father through his Son, whom he gave for you, who died for you, who rose from the dead for you, because the Father so deeply wants relationship with you. If you've never turned away from your sin and invited Christ to come into your heart and life to save you, then maybe right where you're seated, you'd want to invite him in. No magic in my words, but maybe you'd want to pray something silently in your heart like this. Jesus, I'm asking you to come into my heart and forgive me of my sin and live inside of me. Because Father, I know that you want me to be reconciled to you. I thank you that in Jesus, you have reconciled yourself to the world, but that I need to reconcile myself to you. So with all the faith that I have, I turn from my sin and myself and I put my trust in you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're in here and you'd say, Jerry, I just prayed that with you. I'm not embarrassed or ashamed of that. Would you put your hand up? I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to call you. put it up if you just prayed that with me. You invited Christ to come into your life all over the room. Thanks for that. You can put your hands down. Those of you that raised your hands, I would ask you in just a few moments, there'll be pastors waiting in the fireside room. Would you come by and speak to one? Let them know that you've given your life to Jesus. They want to have somebody pray with you, have somebody send you home with something that'll help you in your journey of faith. I just ask you to do that. For the remainder of us, whatever your background, whatever has happened today, whatever you had projected on God, that maybe God unpacked for you a little bit today, would you allow him to be who he is to you as your father? Would you allow him to be the God who loves you, who quiets you with his love, who rejoices over you with singing, and who is a strong tower and a mighty fortress, and who is mighty to save? Father, for each one of us here, we've come in with a different set of understandings, different sets of life circumstances, but God, today, we draw our attention back to you. You are the everlasting Father. You are a God who is good. And so, God, we want to turn our faces to you away from our scenarios, away from making you into our image. But, God, we want to allow you to be who you are on this day. Because, God, what we want to do if we're dads or granddads is we want to imitate you as dearly loved children. We want to learn from you what it means to be a father, what it means to be a husband, what it means to be a boss or an employee, or a wife, or a daughter, or a son. We want to learn to be more like you. Thank you that we've seen that in the face of Jesus. Make us more like him, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our ushers are going to find their spots, and we're going to receive the offering. While we do that, and before I pray, I want to say thanks and let you say thanks to all of our folks who shared with us today. We really appreciate you. Thank you very much. Dads, here's our opportunity to demonstrate our likeness to our Father by acknowledging him as Lord over our lives, even in this area. Father, everything we have is yours. Use this for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.